Oh, summer's here. Monday was Memorial Day, and that's sort of the gateway to summer, and the weather has been absolutely not Texas-like. There's several of you that moved here from other states. This is not summer yet, weather-wise. Enjoy this while you can. There is stuff falling called rain. If you've Texas people don't see that a whole lot, but there's rain, and it's cool. Temperatures are cool, but anyway, I love summer, and one of the things that's important about summer is vacation, and I love taking vacations. I'm going to take one in a few weeks. I want to encourage everybody in here to take a vacation. If you can't do it in the summer, do it in the winter. Find a time to take time off. Your family needs a Sabbath. You need a Sabbath break to get away from work, to get away from your neighbors, get away from church, get away. Just get away, get out of the regular routine and rest and have a good time. And so I grew up going on road trips, and what we're going to do this summer is we're going to take a parallel of a road trip to a vacation and the road trip of life. And so my family was blessed. We were blessed, but we didn't have a lot of money when I was a little kid, and so my mom was super frugal and very budget conscious, so we would pack all of our food, put it in ice chests, pack up our suitcases, get in the car, never flew anywhere, and drove. I would always drive places, and we'd love to get out of the Texas heat, so we'd go to Colorado in the summer, or we'd go down to the beach, down to Port Aransas. So we would stop at the rest stop, and get out, make our sandwiches, get our chips out. We had a big snack basket. We weren't going to stop and get snacks. No, we had to bring our snacks. And so we had a snack basket. We'd eat snacks and just have a lot of fun on the journey getting there. I actually brought some pictures of the old, old days. This is a picture. This first picture is me fishing up in the mountains. And look at that little cute robin. Yeah. I don't know where that is. Somewhere you can see a big mountain in the background, but I do remember this. I'd actually hooked a rock, and I was like, "Mom, take a picture of this," and I was trying to act like I had this big fish on there, and I even had my church merch on. That's our church hat. Trucker, back with the original trucker hats. So this next picture is me and my sister at Yellowstone, and I don't know what happened to me, but I look pretty upset there. And she's laughing at me. That's a classic. She's 2 years older than me. And so that was us at Yellowstone. And then this next picture is us in a stagecoach. How about my mom's glasses? And yeah, those are in style. Again, those are back in style. But so we love to go up to that area in Colorado. There was a place up there, used to be called Buckskin Joe. And it was an old west town that was completely accurate. Everybody was in costumes, and there was gunfights in the streets. And, man, I just loved it. I was going back in time, and I wanted to be a cowboy. And look at me. I'm just so cute sitting there. I don't know what's on my face, but anyway, this is not a filter either. This is an actual, we didn't need Instagram back then. This is the actual film. And all that. So what we're doing this summer is we're taking principles from road trips and applying them to our life that come from the Bible, because really life is a giant road trip, really. From the time you're born to the time you die, it's a trip. And there's a quote that's very famous. Most people attribute it to Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said, "Life is a journey, not a destination." It's a process. We go through things. And so we're going to each week take a principle. And this week is a subtle one. It's not a real obvious one, but it's a subtle one. But it's a super important one. And that is your playlist. You got to have some music for the road, right? And back in those days, when I was a kid, we had a mixtape. That's what we had. We'd get on the radio, we'd make a cassette, and we'd say, "This is our road trip music. We wanna have tunes for the road and songs. We're such an important part of the road trip." And this day and time, we have Spotify, we have Apple Music, and so we can just make a playlist, jams, road jams for the road. Such a big deal. If I was to make one today, of course, I would find some music that was appealing to me. I love Zach Williams. Have y'all, anybody found Zach Williams yet? Oh, he's good. He's really good. He's kind of like a Christian, to me, he's like a Christian Chris Stapleton kind of vibes. Love Chris Stapleton too. But anyway, so I love Zach Williams. I'd put Switchfoot on there. Love them. Love Meat Math. Love old school Toby Mac or DC Talk. Love those guys. All good. If I'm going secular, I'm hitting some George Strait, some classic George Strait. I love Keith Urban. Love the Highwaymen. Anybody know the Highwaymen? Waylon, Willie, and the Boys. Come on. There's some classic old country or some Def Leppard. I like some 80s rock a little bit. Yeah. So anyway, have you ever stopped to think about what it is about music, and not just music, but lyrics, the words, that matter, that mean something? What is it about it that changes the road trip, you know? So I started thinking about it, and part of it is it changes the mood. When you turn on that music, it changes the atmosphere of the vehicle, changes the mood, and it involves everybody that's in the vehicle, so it changes the mood. Another thing is it takes your eyes off of the monotony of the trip. So you're all excited. I mean, the night before a road trip, everybody's excited, right? I mean, you're buzzing around. You don't get good sleep, especially if you're a kid. You got butterflies in your stomach. You're all excited about this big trip. You get packed up. And the really good road trips, we would get up really early, like 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, because we're going to do it all in one day. And so we'd go back to sleep in the car, but the parents couldn't sleep because they were driving. And so now that I'm a dad, I've experienced this. You're excited too. You get in the car. Ah, here we are. The tank's full of gas. We're hitting the road. This is going to be awesome. You go about an hour, and then you see a sign for Lubbock that says 482 miles. And you're like, why didn't we fly? We should have flown. Why are we driving this trip? 400 miles. I mean, if you're in Texas, it takes a day to get out of the state, right? If you're going anywhere else, like the first half of your trip is just Texas getting out. So it's that, I was like, oh my goodness, how are we going to make it? Let's put on some jams. And so you put on the music and you start going. And it changes, it takes your mind off that monotony. But it also allows your mind to get away from this this momentary tunnel vision. And music has the power to allow your mind to go off and think about other things, daydream. Think about your future. Think about what's happening. It shifts your thinking in that way. But also it helps if you can turn that volume up and you can hear less of the arguing that's going on in the back seat. You know what I'm talking about? When somebody goes over that line, Mommy's on my side of the car, fighting back and forth. Oh, man, this day and time is a little different, though, because everybody's got these devices. So y'all are cheating. That's cheating. We used to have to play just the alphabet game for like 4 hours. You try to find, y'all even know what that is, young folks? Y'all even know what the alphabet game is? Like, you see a billboard, there's an A, and there's a B, and there's a C, and there's all these game. And another favorite game we like to play is I'm thinking of a person at Promised Land. It's a woman, she's got brown hair. Oh, is it Rose, is it? Yeah, we have a lot of fun with that, so. Our descriptions are fun too. I don't know if you ever, if you wanna hear how we describe you, let me know and I'll give you. But when you're on the road trip of life, your playlist matters as well. Music doesn't accidentally have these sort of powers. And music is not created by people, but the idea of music and singing and lyrics is something that was created by God. And it's really incredible. I see Ellen interpreting for the deaf over here, and I'd love to, after the service, come get their take on this. But you can even see the deaf community participating in worship by signing, and some of them can feel, some of them can hear a little bit, some of them can feel the rhythm. And so even in that, with that disability, they're able to engage with this because it's a God-centered thing. God created music, which really, if you think about it, it's incredible that you can combine about 10 notes. That's all there is on a scale. I can't remember. But there's only about 10 notes on a musical scale, and just the different combinations of these notes create a melody that's just so influential. And then to take a word, and instead of just saying that word, but to drag it out, I mean, it's so simple, right? Like, how does that do anything? Just to say, instead of saying word, say word. I just created a note. I just created a song there. You know, like how could that matter? How could that mean something? Well, I want to go into some scripture and show you some things that will really help you. Now, as I said, this is very basic stuff, but what I'm hoping is that you can see maybe under the hood. You know, you come to church a lot, you've been around music a lot, but you may have never actually made the connection biblically of why it does matter. And so what I'm doing today is I'm just kind of pulling the hood back and letting you see, oh, that's okay, here's why this is, here's that in there. Okay, so here we go. Number one, singing changes our mood. Singing changes the atmosphere. So King Saul had made a lot of mistakes, and because he had made those mistakes, he was tormented. He had rebelled against God. He had done his own thing. And because of that, he was tormented spiritually and emotionally. The Bible says he was filled with anger and depression. And so his advisors came around him in 1 Samuel 16:16 and said, "Let us find a good musician to play a harp whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you. He will play soothing music and you will be well again." That's incredible. He was troubled, he was angry, he was depressed. They wanted him to feel better. They were tired of being around Grumpy Saul. So they found a man named David. Some of them said, "Hey, we've heard of David. He's a shepherd, but he plays music very well." And this is really God sort of stepping in and manipulating to get David into the palace, I believe, to allow these spirits to be on Saul. But nevertheless, that's a whole other message. I just want to bring out this one principle in the story. Saul was troubled, and the solution was bring David to play a harp for him. Look at verse 23. "And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away." Some of you have some tormenting spirits in your life. Depressing thoughts, lonely thoughts, angry thoughts, thoughts of isolation and abandonment or whatever. And you want to feel better. There's a solution. And that's what I want you to grab a hold of today. So when we come into church, the first thing that we do is we sing songs and we play music. And that's not an accident. That's not a coincidence. That is very strategic because of what it says in the Bible about shifting the mood and the atmosphere of the room. Like, this is the vehicle for the journey of a church service, and we want to shift the atmosphere and the mood of the room. So we play music and we sing together and we engage together with that music. It's not to just pass time to allow everybody to get here so that once everybody's here, then I will get up and do the important stuff. That's not the way it is. The musical part, the singing part, is a very strategic and intentional part to really get people into a different state of mind. Because what happens is, life beats us up all week, right? I mean, there's just so many things that happen, and Monday comes along, and Tuesday comes along, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, ah, and then it's time to go to church on Sunday, and everything's going wrong. Ah, am I going to get there? So you're coming in the door today. Come in the door today with, I failed my final, or I got laid off at work, or she won't ever answer my text, or they left me on red, you know what I'm talking about? Or, ah, I snapped and they won't snap back. Trying to make it very relevant for everybody in here. And so just like, oh, oh, oh. So we don't want to stay in, oh, oh, oh. We want to be lifted. We want to be released. You sitting in the chair right there, or even you watching online, you're not just a physical being sitting in a chair. There's a spirit inside of you and a soul inside of you, your body, soul, and spirit. And so we don't want to just talk to your brain and your flesh. We don't want to just have a fleshly experience. We want there to be a spiritual, supernatural experience in your life. And so that's what inside of your brain is a little mini version of you with some joysticks, you know, and you're like up there and you're controlling the what you think. And I'm like, I'm not going to think that. I'm going to think this. I've heard that before. I don't need to listen to that. And you're just like filtering all this stuff out. And what music does is it takes your hands off the controls. It takes your mind out of the way. And not getting rid of your thinking, but just letting it relax so that that spiritual person inside of you is able to connect with God. It's magical. Really, it is. It's amazing. Ronald Allen said, when a non-singer becomes a Christian, he or she becomes a singer. You might say, well, you know, today I was kind of looking around, and just kind of looking, and there's some people that don't know the words to a song. I get it. Some of you may feel like you're not a good singer. That's okay. Not all are blessed with a finely tuned ear. Not everybody has a perfectly modulated voice. So the sound may not be superb. The clapping may be offbeat. You may be out of tune a little bit. But there's a very important difference between art and worship. Art is a state, music, just music by itself is a state of art. But worship over here is a state of the heart. So worship has to do with engaging your heart, and we use music as a state of art, but it's not you looking up here admiring the skill and the abilities of the people up here, because that would be a concert where we're trying to entertain you. But instead, all of us are singing and directing our worship to God, which is not about the art of it. It's not about being perfectly on pitch and all of that. It's about a heart thing to God. So at Promised Land, you're going to hear people, they're singing. I talked about Rick on the first row of our church service in the 8:30. Rick is the loudest singer in the entire church. He's louder than sound system. The 8:30 service, everybody's like, Rick's here. Yeah, he is. But I love that. He is lifting a joyful noise to the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Shout for joy. You know, it's singing and dancing and expressing our love to Him. So I want to encourage everybody in here to actually sing when you're at church. You may not get anything else from this today, but that's super important, to sing with your voice out loud. Wow, so profound, right? I mean, like, why? Because it matters. There's a distinct difference in a worship experience on First Wednesday than there is on Sunday. And we just had a First Wednesday service this week. And everybody, raise your hand if you're here on First Wednesday. Y'all know that was an incredible environment, wasn't it? And the key difference on a First Wednesday and a Sunday, it's hard to articulate it and explain it, but the music is the same. The planning is the same. The preaching is always going to be good. I mean, it's always going to be All of that doesn't change. The only difference on the first Wednesday is that the people are ready to sing. They're ready to open up their hearts to God. And there is just an atmosphere that is completely the next level. I mean, Sunday's good. I love Sunday. But it's that next level. So I want to encourage you to step into this form of worship. David said in Psalm 71:23, he's the one playing the harp for Saul. He says, my lips will shout for joy when? When I sing praises to you. My soul also, which you have redeemed. So he's saying, my lips, which is the outer part of my body, is going to be in joy. And my soul that you can't see will be in joy. When I sing, joy has a venue to be, make yourself known in me. So that's awesome. So I want to encourage you to sing. Come on, let your voice be heard. Let your voice be heard. There's something powerful about hearing your own voice. So weird, but it's true. You can ask God how that works when we get to heaven, all right? But just trust me, it works, okay? But here's the deal. I want to throw another, idea your way, is that you don't have to just sing on Sunday morning. You can sing all week. And there's tons of resources out there now, music that's online, that's on your phone, on your computer. The Austin area, San Antonio area, has a couple of Christian radio stations that you can just turn on the radio. But with streaming now, with Spotify and Apple Music, you can get all the worship music that's out there. And you get it, I mean, it's the same songs that we're singing here. In fact, on Spotify, we've created a public playlist that's called PSM Church. It's on Spotify. And so you can search for that. If you're on Spotify, search for PSM Church. And we've compiled on there the music that we sing in here. So if you ever want to know, what was that song? You can sing along on your way to work, on the way to school, while you're studying, whatever. And let that mood shift wherever you are. All right, so your mood shifts when you sing. But number two, singing teaches us about God. Singing actually teaches you about who God is. That's theology, the study of God and who God is. And we want to know who God is. We want to learn about God. So Pastor Tim, who's our worship pastor, is very intentional. And even Lacey before him was very intentional about finding songs that had biblically sound lyrics in them. So that when we sing those songs before, or when you get here, when you sing those songs, you're actually seeing something that's true about God, that you can learn about God through the lyrics of those songs. And they're things that will stick with you. Because I'm teaching, other people are teaching, you're reading the Bible yourself, you're going to small groups, you're hearing things, but guess what? We forget them. We forget them. God doesn't want us to forget them. He wants us to remember his nature. God wants us to remember his covenant with us. And so putting it to music helps. And in fact, there's been scientific research about this principle, not just in the church, but any kind of learning sticks with you when you put it to music and lyrics, or even poetry. It's incredible. So I remember in kindergarten, we learned about the letters of the alphabet by singing a song. Mr. M with a munchy mouth. My mouth goes munch, munch, munch. My mouth goes munch, munch, munch. Morning to midnight, midnight to morning, Mr. M with a munchy mouth. That was 40 years ago. And I flawlessly sang it for you to learn about M makes the sound. Then there was, I won't keep going. I was going to sing Tall Teeth, but I'm not going to sing Tall Teeth for you. Okay. How many of y'all, this is a pop quiz. How many of y'all can quote John 2 and 6? Anybody here can quote John 2 and 6? You might know what the general ideas, but you can't. But I want to, here's another test. I'm going to sing a line of a song, and I want you to finish the next line. Okay, y'all ready? In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the... chilling out, maxing, relaxing all. Who are up to no good in my neighborhood. Okay. Wow, y'all. Okay, stop. That's good. That's a little Fresh Prince of Bel-Air intro. I mean, it was a TV. It was the intro to the TV thing. Y'all nailed it. That was good. What about Blame It All on My Roots? And man, that both of those songs are over 30 years old, and they're there, they're in there. But what about God's truth? You know, what about God's reality? There was a time when the Israelites, y'all may talk about this in y'all's study on Wednesday night, but there was a time when the Israelites were about to go into the promised land, and God wanted them to not forget who he was. And God was like, please don't forget me. He knew that it was in human nature to forget things. And so this is what he said in Deuteronomy 31:19. So write down the words of this song. Write down the words of this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Help them learn it so it may serve as a witness for me against them. Verse 21 says, and when great disasters came down on them, this song will stand as evidence against them, for it will never be forgotten by their descendants. Now, there's some weird language in there about, you know, against God, against their relatives, whatever. This is what he was saying. If we can get this song in them, and we can get the nature of God in them by them remembering this song, then if they ever forget it, it's going to be in them, and they can never blame God again. Because this is what happens to all of us as humans. We go out and live in the real world, and work comes at us, and family comes at us, and financial trouble comes at us, and we make mistakes, and we have trouble. And what does our mind do? Our mind goes off of the reality of who God is, and all it does is see a lie from the enemy. But God doesn't want that. God wants his truth in us, in his reality, that he's never going to leave us. He's always going to be with us. He's going to take care of us. He loves us dearly. He's approving of you. He's loving of you. He's accepted you into the family. He never wants you to ever doubt that. So he wants it to be inside of our heart, inside of our minds. He wants us to remember his nature and remember his covenant. And so that's why I want to encourage you to sing these words. Sing it. And don't just let other people sing it around you. I mean, that's good. But you jump in and sing it. That way, when you go through that troubling time, you can sing, even though I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Yeah, that's truth. That's real. That's God. He's working even when you don't see him. That's a song we sing here. How do I know that? How do I know those lyrics? Because I sing it. Man, I go in, I push in. Okay, here's the last thing that singing does that you may not have thought of, is that singing unifies us. As I said earlier, we come in with all different types of us, right? You come in from Kyle, you over here come from Canyon Lake, you over here come from Rancho Vista, you over here come from Buda. These people come from just getting laid off. These people come from growing up in Mexico. These people come up who just got their PhD. These people never finished school. All these different things come in to the room on Sunday. And that's a beautiful thing. I love that. I love that this church is so diverse. Color, age, everything. It's amazing. I love it. So coming into the building is step one. Don't forsake coming together. Everybody that's watching online, come in person. Don't forsake getting together in one room. But that's just the beginning. When we each start singing the same lyric about who God is, our histories start blending together. Our pain starts blending together. Our strength starts blending together. And we become one voice that is expressing ourselves to God. And some people have told me over the years, I love coming to Promised Land. I just love the way I feel. And if they've never been to church before, they don't understand the theology behind it. Today I'm hoping to explain it to you. That's not just coincidence or accident. That's the Spirit of God. That good feeling you feel, that's the Spirit of God. And that is happening because people are joining together in unity. And it's not about us. It's not about our name. It's completely about expressing ourselves to God. And if you were in a drone hovering over Promised Land on a Sunday morning, and you could see the flow coming out of this location, it'd be like a fountain of praise going up into the heavenlies. It's a beautiful thing. It's not your song and his song and her clap and her dance and her whatever. No, it's one voice going up to Jesus. There was a time when Jesus was walking around and the Pharisees were criticizing his followers and his disciples for speaking up and for worshiping God. And Jesus says, don't criticize them, because if they stop worshiping, the rocks are going to start crying out. Come on up here, people. We're going to practice right now. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to get the lyrics up on the screen, and we're not going to let any rock steal our place, right? Come on, let's sing together.
Ooh, I won't let the rocks cry out in my place.
With one voice, with one heart, God.
so good, so good, so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. I want you to take it with you as you leave this place. Don't leave it here. Take it with you. Keep on singing. Keep on singing. Keep on spreading the love and the joy of the Lord with you. If you're interested in joining up with our church or have more questions, I'd love for you to join me right now over in the Student Center. We have a meal prepared for you. We'd love to have you over there, and we'll get to know you. If not, be blessed. Hope to see you at one of our classes this week. Have a wonderful week. We love you. God bless you. You are dismissed.